Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. You might not recognise his name, but Paul Horan has been a key figure in New Zealand comedy, from his early days in the now legendary Facial DBX to the setting up of New Zealand's only venue specifically for comedy, The Classic. He's now based in Melbourne, where he set up and runs the writer's room for the popular talk show Rove. That's where Nigel McCulloch caught up with him for a chat.
How did you come to be over here in the first place?
Well, like most New Zealanders, I've got half a family, a vague association, and a reasonable amount of money that I can afford to come over. Basically, I was always just coming over here, coming to the Melbourne Comedy Festival, buying and selling. I helped set up the New Zealand Comedy Festival. So we would come here and buy Australian acts, bring them to New Zealand, not make any money. However, have a brilliant time, got to know a lot of people over here, and one thing led to another, and they offered me a job.
So you started the comedy festival in New Zealand. Did you always have an interest in comedy in New Zealand?
Unfortunately, it's the only thing I've ever really done. I worked in TV for shows like A Bit After 10, which was the first comedy kind of quiz, comedy kind of talent show, first one of that. Set up the Classic comedy venue and started Kitty O'Brien's, which was New Zealand's first regular stand-up gig. So really, while I would like to have said I've had a career, I've just done comedy.
And what prompted the move over to Melbourne?
Money. Lots more money here. Also, it's a scale thing. You know, there's six times the amount of people in this country, and there's six times the amount of opportunities. So, there's just more scale to do things here. And, there's very little difference in terms of personality or quality. It's just there's more of it.
So is there a different factor between the comedies that happen between Australia and New Zealand? Do you think the comic outlook is different?
I think so. Here, there's a more... I don't want to slide into those appalling clichés about the differences between these two things. But there is a more generous thing in comedy here. There's less cynicism for the sake of cynicism, which does tend to bog down a lot of New Zealand comedians, especially early in their career. Often you get a first-time set out of a rookie comedian in New Zealand, and they really are coming out swinging like a disgruntled 45-year-old recently laid off freezing worker. Which is a little tedious. Whereas here, you do get a great variety in kind of what people are doing. Also, too, there's a greater knowledge of form here. There's a lot of people who love stand-up and a lot of people who want to push it to somewhere new and interesting, but still have a great respect for the craft of comedy. And I like that.
You moved over here. What did you do once you got here? Did you have a job lined up?
Yeah, I did. I came over to work on Rove. I helped set up their writer's room. I was seen as neutral, a New Zealander who was kind of the Switzerland of comedy. And, helped set up their writer's room and just have worked ever since.
Can you describe to me what a writer's room is, for those who don't know?
A writer's room smells like nothing you've ever smelt in your life. Even mothers who know what a teenage boy's room smells like, they have nothing on this. It's kind of an abattoir on a sunny day smell. Basically, it's all the writers, and also too, here, they have rooms full of full-time writers, usually young, young groups of men, it's kind of it's a very, very creative atmosphere, and also there's a budget to pay people well, and also when you pay people, you can have great expectations of them. That is one of the harder things about working in New Zealand, is everyone, so many people are doing things for free, you can't crack the whip, or you can't apply intellectual rigour to their work because they're giving it to you for nothing. So when you are paying them, you can be quite the tyrant.
So there's a group of writers. Are you saying that Rove isn't making it up on the spot?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to pop that bubble for you, New Zealand. Sorry about that, but yeah. And more news later on the Easter Bunny.
And when you set up the writers' room, what is involved in that? Are you finding the writers? Are you picking the talent?
That's one of the reasons why the Comedy Festival here is so important, is that I'm currently seeing three shows a night, going around seeing new writers, seeing what's happening. You know, there's a bit of a buzz about a 19-year-old comedian from the country, and everyone's going to see him and see if he's will be interesting for writing later on. But so consequently, it's really important to track these people, get them early, and make them yours. Because once again, comedy writers, a good comedy writer is a rare thing, and training them and getting their allegiance is very important.
I'm sure spotting somebody like that is a rare thing as well. How do you spot a good writer?
When they say something that you never thought of, when you get a concept, an idea that doesn't necessarily make you laugh, but it's something you think, what an odd head you have. And when you get that, and it doesn't happen very often, you kind of go, oh gosh, I'm going to grab you.
And so you set up Rove, you worked on that for a while. Have you done other things over in Melbourne since you've been here?
Yeah, I moved back into directing live comedy here, which has been really good, and but also to working for the various other channels, working for the ABC, which is the equivalent of a pre-privatised TVNZ, which is like working in a 1950s shoe factory. But they, apparently in Brisbane, they still have a tea lady. So I think it's apocryphal. But so I've worked, and once again, there's the ability to work everywhere here, which is really nice. And great variety of styles. And there's more breadth and hybridized versions of comedy. So I've worked on news comedy shows, topical comedy shows. It's very interesting.
You talked about yourself as the Switzerland of comedy. Do you think having your foot back in New Zealand is keeping you with a different outlook over here?
Yeah, New Zealand's now very cool in comedy here. There was a recent comedian here who was Wilson Dixon, who's Jesse Griffin, who is from Dunedin, and he's described as the next New Zealand sensation, because since Flight of the Conchords, it's a very powerful, very good thing to be here. But even when I first arrived, being a New Zealander in the comedy industry was always a very good thing, especially with John Clarke, Tony Martin, who is a totally neglected comedy gem in New Zealand, but is considered an absolute god. Yes, there's lots of people here, Carl Wilson, Alan Bro, all making very nice livings and being very well respected. And now it has the added gloss of post-Concord glory.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is well respected over here, and maybe they didn't quite get their dues back in New Zealand?
It's, I think it's... The Concords got their break, basically, and Rhys Darby has then followed, getting all of these great film roles. I think it's just New Zealanders have always been brilliant. It's just actually getting your stuff in front of the right people at the right time. That hasn't happened very often. I mean, everyone says that about the Front Lawn, they totally could have ruled the world comedically, musically, if they'd had the right time, the right place. So having said that, Concords are enormously talented, and so it's quite good that they were there at the right time.
So you think there's hope for future New Zealand comedy then?
I think so. At the moment, there's a brief fashionable window. So if you're a young New Zealand comedian, pack your bag now and whore it around the world, because this glamour won't last.
It's Nigel McCulloch talking to Paul Horan. After the break, we find out how budding guitarists in Auckland can be part of a world record attempt.